Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kat Farmer.
And I'm Marianne Jones. And this is Been There, Done That. You've got the podcast where we ask a new answer. So this week we're asking, can you ever have a happy divorce? Or at least one that doesn't end with bitterness and bad behaviour.
Yeah, and the reason that we thought we'd do this is because we've spoken in the past. We've obviously done sort of my experience and how I'm coping, how I managed the breakup, so the initial breakup, but then you do get on to the legalities. You know, it does all boil down to a piece of paper, but it's how can you get to that process without it being a shit show, without it being really expensive.
And the last time we did this, we were just overwhelmed, weren't we, by A, the volume of people who messaged us, and B, actually how sad a lot of it was.
Yeah.
And that got us to thinking that there's got to be another easier, smoother, cheaper, happier way.
Because we did have messages from people saying, you know, it doesn't have to be bitter, it doesn't have to be toxic, you know, there are ways of doing it. And we wanted to know how. We thought we'd share. And I have been overwhelmed, and I'm daily overwhelmed with messages from people saying, how are you going? What are you doing? You know, you seem very happy. You know, how is a divorce, you know, proceeding? Can it be amicable as opposed to acrimonious, and how are you managing it? So I am still very much in the process. So we'll come to that another time. But this is very much information that you've given us that we're sharing.
I mean, in a lovely start to it, one listener said to us, my friend Anna sat next to her ex-husband at his second wedding.
And we had quite a few of those.
That's very Gwyneth and Chris, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, we've had lots of people say, you know, I've been to my ex-husband's wedding. I mean, yeah. Nice. I think that is, for most people, that's probably a step perhaps too far. I also think the one thing I have learned from all the things that have come through, the tips have been, it does depend to a degree on the circumstances around the breakup. So if there are, I mean, it was fundamentally, you know, what was somebody said? If there is no infidelity and there is no issue with finance, it's much easier to be amicable. But there are other people that have, you know, not been in, I mean, I'm not going to say an enviable position. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? But in those situations where obviously there has been, you know, whatever it might be on either side, there's a level of bitterness. Can you still move on?
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently you can.
Yeah. Well, we were contacted when we put the story up last week by a breakup and divorce coach called Tori Lucas. And she's on Insta at tori.lucas, L-U-C-A-S, .coaching, if you want to check her out. And she was basically saying this is such a great, positive topic. And she gave us some of her tips that she says to her clients, starting off with, essentially, if you recognise a fair outcome has to be fair to you both, and crucially, any children, you're already halfway there. It's not about securing the best outcome for you personally, because unsurprisingly, your ex is unlikely to agree to that. It's about figuring out what's fair to you both. So if possible, agree a collective narrative as early as possible. And this will be the script that gets you through those first initial conversations with the family, friends and children, if there are any involved. That's a good way forward, isn't it?
And that very much is mirrored, as we'll go to your responses, but that very much is mirrored in that.
She says, try and lead with a positive example, how proud you are of your relationship, the happy times you've had. There will always be some positives to look back on. Then recognize that some relationships have a shelf life. Mm. And as you've grown apart. It's not a failure. You're just both now looking for different life experiences. She said it's important, if you can, to remove the drama. I mean, that's probably very difficult to do in some circumstances. Mm. Breakouts can bring all the drama queen king out in us all. Actively tell people you don't want them to pick sides. Mm. That's being the bigger person, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you show you're able to act in a calm and rational way, friends and family will follow suit. End on a positive, focus on the great friendship, co-parenting relationship you had. For those navigating the process with children together, I thought this was really interesting. She says the term broken family is used far too frequently, and it has massively negative connotations and frankly should be abolished. That's really interesting. So if you're on the receiving end of this, just respond with something like, look, before we got divorced or separated, we were desperately unhappy. We fought. It was a miserable environment. Since getting divorced or since being separated, we've actively changed the relationship from one that had broken down to co-parents determined to make it work. Our children are happier. We're happier. It's the best thing that's happened to us. Divorce, separation didn't break our family. It fixed our family.
And I think that's so interesting in the definition of the word family. And I also think, you know, I mean, just a tiny bit of experience, there's still the negativity around divorce is astronomically massive.
I was really shocked when you told me that, because in this day and age, when you think, is it over 40% of couples will divorce, and in fact increasingly more and more in our age demographic, like for me, if I hear someone's getting divorced, it doesn't, unless it is shocking because you didn't see it coming, I just see it as a sort of fact of life. But
and actually quite a grown-up thing to do.
The best thing to do in many cases, particularly if you've got a hell of a whole life ahead of you, which, you know, in your midlife, you generally have. What stigma do you think still attached to it?
I don't know. I think people, there is a huge level of judgment, and I think people judge what other people do by what they think they would do and what they deem to be right, which again, it's, you know, what somebody else does, it's frankly none of your business. So it's tricky, and I understand from a psychological perspective, it is ingrained, 2.4 children, you know, and a family unit, and you marry and you stay married forever. But you know, that's not the narrative anymore, and that hasn't been for years. I mean, God, my parents got divorced when I was tiny. You think, you know, 40,
how old were you?
How old was I? Well, I knew about my dad's affair when I was 6, and they got divorced. Well, he left when I was 11. And then,
well, I knew about my dad's affair when I was 7, and he left when I was 8. Yeah. Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
And we all knew about everything that had happened.
Oh, yeah. But it's still, all these years later, it's still what I think, it's that the first thing anyone says to you is when you say to them, oh, I'm getting divorced. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry, yeah. Yeah, you've said this before, haven't
please
you?
Please don't say you're sorry.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
If I turned around to you and said, I'm miserably, you know, and this isn't, let's not, you know, I'm paraphrasing, as in if you imagined you turn around to somebody and said, I was miserably, miserably unhappy, but I'm trying to make this work. They wouldn't go, well done you. They'd be like, why? What are you doing that for?
Yeah.
So it is just a knee-jerk reaction. But again, they don't mean it in an insulting way, but it is that society says, if your marriage didn't work, in somehow it's a failure.
You failed.
Yeah.
Aren't you meant to say, and how are you feeling about it? Something like that instead.
I don't think there are any rules, but from experience, That's what I would now say, and that's what I think would be the polite thing to say to somebody, because they could say, "I'm devastated. He was an absolute arsehole," or "I'm," you know, whatever it might be. You know, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I think it is the assumption that, you know, first of all, you're making somebody, even if someone has had the most torrid time, and you're saying, "Oh, I'm so sorry. This isn't making it any better."
Yeah. So let's go over to our listeners. I mean, there was one absolute constant.
Yeah.
The number one thing that people said was never, ever, ever badmouth each other to your children, or indeed involve your children. Don't make them take sides. Do not get them involved.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
And I think my favorite thing, I think, was, which I think is really important, and it's, you're divorcing your ex-husband, not the children.
Yeah.
The children should not in any way, shape or form ever be part of this.
Yeah.
And I think that, from what everybody has said, and I mean, I reckon we had probably 60% of the responses were just that. That is the key to moving on. Because the point is, as somebody said, you are going to be part of their life forever.
Yeah.
You're going to be part of their life forever. And again, I mean, I remember, again, someone, the best piece of advice I got was, look, divorce can be amicable or it can be acrimonious. At the end of the day, the outcome is the same. It's which path do you want to take?
How much do you want to spend?
It's not necessarily about how much you want to spend. I actually think, and this is something that lots and lots of people said, it is about being the bigger person.
Mm.
Let it go. Who said that?
Someone just said let it go.
Let it go.
In a very Elsa way. Yeah. Be the better person. Be graceful, rise above the shit.
The best revenge is being happy.
Yeah. And somebody said, stick with the mediation. Mm. When lawyers get involved too quickly, you're stuffed. I didn't even know you had to have mediation.
I don't. It's different because you can do different types of divorce now. I mean, I am not a legal expert in any way, shape or form. What I will say, and I do think this is true, somebody said if there's no infidelity and no fighting over money, it is possible.
Yeah.
And I think it does depend on the circumstances. It does depend on if one of you is hell-bent on having a lawyer. I mean, somebody else said, you know, don't be greedy financially and don't point score.
Yeah.
Again, it's very easy to say that if you are in the fortunate position of being financially independent.
Yeah.
And I think that, from, again, we've read a lot of people said, you know, it's not possible. Lots of people have said it's not possible, but other people have said it is. But it is rise above it. It's rise above it.
I imagine, as well as the sort of emotional fallout, finances has got to be a close second to that when it comes to divorce, because it's quite frightening, isn't it?
Well, I think also, you know, there is the whole, it's very, very difficult because there are, you know, lots of women have very different experiences, and men, lots of men have very different experiences and find themselves in a different situation. But it is, it's somebody else said, someone messaged me and said, never ever use the line, it's not fair.
That's interesting, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, as she said, and you know, I'm going to follow up with ... life's not fair. And sometimes situations aren't fair. But the constant, the people that have said they came out of it with a head held high or happier is they let stuff go. Acceptance.
Yes, compromise.
Compromise.
Was a big one, wasn't
big,
it?
Big word.
You know, you might not want to, but you're going to have to compromise, yeah, really, to make things easier for you.
Be graceful, rise above the shit.
Yeah. And it's be civil, especially when kids are involved. You don't have to be best friends. But at the end of the day, you're always going to want that relationship with your kids, aren't you?
Yeah.
And you don't want to damage them.
And lots of people did say as well, do remember, you know, that there were good times.
Yeah, and that's what Tori Lucas said, is try and focus on the fact that you did have good times, but you've moved on and you've grown apart, and that's the way to look at it, isn't it?
I think the divorce coach is interesting, because what's the other thing that she advocates is actually speaking to a divorce coach to understand why.
She thinks you should also always, I mean, in a way you could say, well, she would say this because that's what she does, but I do think her service is useful, and I guess a lot of people don't think to do that, maybe, is to hire a divorce coach to get over the kind of acrimony and the bitterness and come to a solution before you need to involve a lawyer, because you you know, then it's ka-ching times, isn't it?
Well, people use, as I said, people use lawyers for different things. And I think if there are complicated financials involved, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I've only got one experience, and that's my own, which I'm not going to talk about now. And I will talk about, but I'm not going to go into the minutiae of it.
Yeah, I know you're not going to talk about it, but what can you say, maybe what the one thing you relate to the most is, you know, what advice you would give from your experience?
Oh, from mine is the children.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely, you know, regardless of you know, your children are the ones that you are going to be involved in a daily basis, and never, ever, ever say something to them that you will regret. And also, there are two sides to every story. That's the other thing. That's the one thing I try to keep in my mind. And as much as, you know, there is, nobody is infallible. There is blame on both sides. And I think if you acknowledge that, and again, the other thing is, you know, end goal in sight, be the bigger person. It's not always easy. No one says divorce is easy. And that's the other thing that somebody said, there is no happy because it's not easy, but it's a necessary evil if you are on the other side to be at. And that's another thing that someone said, is always focus on the long game. You know, ultimately you will be happy. If you want to spend, you've got two choices. You can spend your, this comes back down to the acrimonious and the amicable. You've got two choices. You can either be bitter forever, or you can acknowledge that it's done, that you married the wrong, you know, even if you married the wrong person, it wasn't right. Moving forward, there's the end goal in sight. My happiness is for me in the future.
Yeah, totally.
There was a lot about blame as well. Don't blame.
I suppose try and take the emotion out of the situation is really difficult, but
almost impossible.
But once you start, you know, chucking blame and chucking this and chucking that around, you're never really going to get a solution, are you? I mean, suppose it's hard if you don't want the divorce. You know, if you don't want the divorce, it's going to be hard to make it amicable, isn't it?
And I think this comes back down to, if there's no fidelity and no, you know, and then no fighting, and not that all divorces are about infidelity, but if it's not something that you wanted, and, you know, you are also, it's so dependent on circumstances, but we definitely had responses from people in different circumstances saying, you know what, it's incredibly difficult, but it can be done.
And at the end of the day, whether you instigated it or not, and whether you wanted it or not, you have to get to a point of acceptance, don't you? For your own mental health.
That's the one thing that, I mean, we had mediation, and we did go and see a specialist in this. So not, there's a legal mediation thing. That's not what we saw. That's not who we saw. And that, her mantra was acceptance. There is blame on both sides. And even if one person, what you have to accept is that this isn't the way you're looking at it, and your picture of your marriage and how you thought it was, that's not what they thought. But the point is, your ideal of your marriage that you thought, I want with this person, they don't want it.
Yeah.
And you're never going to get it with them, but you could have it with somebody else. So you can either rail against it and, you know, rail against it and go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth with the bitterness and the, you did this and you did that and the blame. Or you can just say, do you know what? Actually, it's done. Let's look where we are. Let's, you know, let's, again, and it does come back down to, as Tori said, and lots of you said, try and remember that there were good times, but you changed, and you're not the same people that you were. And it is a question of moving on. There are lots about, it comes back to acceptance and moving on. And it's so trite and easy to just say that out loud. And I know, I mean, I've had friends, I mean, we've got friends, you know, that have been there, and, you know, in the absolute, actually, you know, the doldrums. And it's so difficult to sort of say, come on, you know, when someone is so entrenched in sadness and grief.
You're in a holding pattern of grief, aren't you? And and you can stay there almost forever unless you, I suppose, reach the point of acceptance.
Yeah. Well, I think the problem with your grief has obviously lots of channels. And I think there is actually a really interesting...
Anger, you know, it can channel into all sorts of things.
Bitterness. Anger, blame, bitterness. Exactly. Yeah. And it's not healthy.
It's self-destructive, isn't it, in the end? Not meaning to be, but you will just destroy yourself with it.
But also, I do remember someone saying to me, you know, there is a form, you know, understand and don't not acknowledge the grief. Because nobody wanted to be in this situation. So there's always going to be an element of grief. Of course there is. You don't go into marriage thinking that, well, I'm only going to do it for a little while and then I'm out. There is, but you've got a long time left on the other side.
But that's where I think the big change is now with our life stage.
Yeah.
50 now isn't what 50 was decades ago. 50 now is, you know what, I could have 40 years of healthy life left, if not more.
I do also think for men and women, you know, if you're not the major breadwinner, it from a financial perspective, it can be terrifying.
Yeah.
And again, I get that. It can be terrifying because the law has changed and there isn't that level of maintenance that there was years and years ago.
Can you recap on what the law is?
I can't because I'm not a lawyer.
Okay. I just wondered if there was a simple way of putting it. Is it basically that if you're... whichever party earns less, you can no longer rely on the other person, the ex-spouse, to provide maintenance ad infinitum? Is that the general gist of it?
That's as I understand it from experiences with friends and from what I've been told.
Right.
Yeah, there is no, you know, you, yes, there is no, it's called... I think it was called the clean split law. I don't want to say this because I'm not.
Oh, there was a clean. Expert. Yeah, I'm just thinking if people want to look it up. Yeah, maybe look for clean break law or whatever, because it has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah. It has it. And that does make it really, really, really frightening. It does make it really frightening. And so you can understand that it's fear that then manifests itself as anger.
Yeah.
And it's totally understandable.
Yeah.
But in the long term, you know, if someone's made their decision, that's, you know, that's...
Are you happy, Kat? Yes or no?
Me? I'm really happy. Yeah, I am happy. You know, it's not what I wanted. It's not what I wanted, but it's, you know, I liken it to an analogy of, do you carry on trying to shove a square peg into a round hole? Yeah. How many years do you want to do that for? And I think it's a realization, as you said, that, you know, if you're women, you know, in your 50s, 40s, or even 60s.
Oh, God, yeah.
You've got years left. Yeah. And there are different opportunities. But this is what people said, you know, choose happy. That's about 4 or 5 people said,
yeah,
choose happy, you know. Focus on the prize, long-term goal, you know, and understand that it will get better.
Yeah.
That's one thing people said, you know, it will get better. But it gets better more quickly if you can be a grown-up. Don't want someone here, don't point score.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Apart from a couple, Kat, the gist of which was hire a hitman so you never have to see them again.
3 people said hire a hitman. Somebody said bury them under the patio.
That's gone a bit Brookside, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, if all else fails. No, I don't know. I can understand, as I said, you know, I can understand the level of, you know, acrimony. And it's very, very easy to say that when... when there hasn't been an affair and there isn't a financial issue, it's very easy to say, well, it's fine. I mean, don't get me wrong, divorce is not easy. And when you get lawyers involved, they are necessary, but it does, it does, yeah.
Make it more painful.
It makes it more painful. And I think also there are lawyers and there are lawyers, you know, and I think,
oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, there are some lawyers. No, I'm not going to say this actually, because my lawyer was brilliant. You know what, mine was brilliant. But you know, some of the things,
that you've heard.
Well, that I've heard, yeah, from yeah, it's a little bit like, really, yeah, is that where you're going with that? Really, is that where you're going with that?
Wow. Yeah,
I do think as well that it's the bigger picture. As somebody said, don't be greedy financially. You know, be fair, compromise. Yeah, there's a level of point scoring. I think don't point score. They have all these things.
Digging your heels in on, you know, who's getting this, yes, and who's getting that at the end of the day. You'll end up paying for it, won't you? Because the to-ing and fro-ing will just, you know, go on to the cost of your legal bill.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, just if all else fails, remember, karma's a bitch. my favourite, when you go low, they go high. I'm not going to have that attitude. I'm going to have it somewhere. On my forehead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No.
Good old Michelle Obama.
Yeah, exactly. Be more with Michelle Obama.
All right. It's a wrap, everyone. Thanks for listening and sharing your take on having as amicable a divorce as possible.
I do think, though, do you know what I will just say? And I think it's a really interesting point that we started with, the fact that it is still seen as being, it's still such a stigma attached to it.
I was surprised at that in this day and age. That shocked me when you said that.
Yeah.
Is it that, you know, could you have worked harder to make it work? Is it that type of stigma? What's the stigma?
Well, also the reason, it's very much, and I bet, you know, people say, and again, we'll talk about this later, but it's, well, you weren't unhappy. It's like, no, I wasn't unhappy, but I wasn't really happy. And also, you know, it's, you can see a lot from the outside looking in.
Oh God, I mean, I always say do not peek behind the curtains of people's relationships, because you don't know what you're going to find.
Yeah.
What you see is not always what you get.
Yeah, I do, you know, and I think, oh, you know, again, I mean, people, you know, it's not, you know, think about the kids. Like, yeah, we were thinking about the children.
Exactly.
We were thinking about the children.
Yeah. Totally right.
Yeah. Interesting though, we did take the piss out of Gwyneth and Chris all those years ago.
For consciously uncoupling. And actually, you know, they're all the best of friends. He's moved on, she's moved on, and they seem perfectly happy. Again, don't know what the reality is, but they seem to have done a pretty good job.
But lots of people, again, you know, that was criticised massively. It's like, why would you criticise them? They're doing something that actually
is something really admirable.
But it's not seen in most people's eyes. Yeah. That's the really funny. It's funny. So I actually think one of the easiest ways, or looking forward, for people to actually be able to have a happier divorce is to make it less judgmental from other people. Mm. Other people don't help.
Well, and also other people don't matter at the end of the day.
No, they don't. But it's very, very difficult when you're being judged not to, you know, it is very, very difficult. Yeah. And other people do love to put their two penneth in and have their say. And I think they judge, as I've said, you know, your situation by what they would do. And assume as well, it's the assumption that, well, it must have been that.
Do
you know what? Yeah, whatever. You think what you want.
Yeah.
So that's it. Anyway, so do keep your comments coming via our Insta page at Got The Podcast. I really hope that was helpful and gave some people a thing, because I am asked about it all the time, and I don't have all the answers because I'm just one person.
Yeah, your experience.
Well, I've got my experience, and I've got the experience of very close friends who have, you know. But that's tricky, because you obviously have a bias, and then that does make it, again, more difficult.
Yeah. So keep the comments coming.
Yes.
Have a great week, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Thursday already?
Bye.
Always said bye. Look at me.
Oh, she's been there all the way. Gosh.